If you have your Bible this morning, if you could take it and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. We'll be looking at verses 24 through 27 here in just a moment. We're going to be looking at another question that Jesus asked as we continue that series. And this is the question, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? We're going to look at the cost of discipleship, or in other words, the cost of really, truly following Jesus. I accepted Christ when I was a young boy. I was just a little child, maybe 6 years old. And at that time, I really didn't understand the cost of following Jesus. And there came a point in my life where I began to further understand the importance of doing ministry and the importance of following Jesus. But even then, I was naive to what it really cost to follow him. I knew that I wanted to serve him and I wanted to do things, but I didn't really know what it cost. And then in college, when God began to call me to ministry, and I knew that he was calling me into professional ministry, and I surrendered to that call, I knew that I wanted to love people and I wanted to serve people. And I had visions of doing this easy ministry and changing the world, but I had no idea really what the cost was of following Jesus. In that first professional ministry assignment that I had, that first place that I served, I learned very quickly the cost of following Jesus. It was difficult. It was not an easy place to serve, and it made me question whether or not I really should even be in ministry, and it was so hard. Some might even say that the ministry was unsuccessful, even though I wouldn't go so far as to say that. So here I am, 20-some years later, doing ministry, and there's been ups and downs in ministry, and there's been some good times, and there's been some difficult times. And if I think back to being in college, and I think back to sitting in my apartment, wrestling with this call, wrestling with the idea, is God really asking me to give my life for ministry? And if I could do it all over again, if I could go back to that point, and I came to that point of decision, if I could do that all over again, I would do exactly the same thing, because I believe that Jesus is worth it. He is worth the cost of following him. In this passage that we're going to look at, the disciples are at a point in their life where they are enjoying the privilege of being with Jesus, and they don't really yet understand the price tag of following Jesus. Too often as Christians, we're kind of that way. We enjoy the privilege of the relationship with Jesus, but we're not really willing to pay the cost of truly following him. The disciples were focused on the glory, but it wouldn't be long before they realized the cost. And this is the place where Jesus is meeting with them, and he asked a question that is the focus of today's sermon. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Let's read together Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 27. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will a man profit if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will repay every man according to his deeds." We're going to look at this idea of discipleship. And discipleship comes with a sacrifice. And Jesus shares this cost. He says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Denying self. In order to deny ourselves, we have to really be honest about who we are. To deny self means that we look at ourselves and we say, look, there are some motives that I have that are selfish, and I want to deny those. There are some goals in my life, and they may be selfish goals, and I need to deny them. There are some possessions that I want and things that I want in my life, but those are really selfish things. And if I'm going to follow Jesus, maybe I need to deny those things. This is a foreign concept to many Christians. So we largely ignore this idea and this teaching of denying self. This idea is something like this. See, we have these desires, and we have these things that we think are going to fill our heart, and there's things that we want. And these are the desires of our life, and these can be all different kinds of things. These might be things like career issues, things like, you know, I really want to be a teacher, or I really want to be a doctor, or I really want to be a garbage man, or we have these career choices that we want, and these are things that we hold on to. They might be other things. It might be things like media choices. You know, I really like that TV program. I really want to listen to this kind of music. They may be life choices. I want to date so-and-so. I want to marry this person. I want to move to such and such a place. Sometimes they're emotional choices. You know, I'm really at peace with this decision, or right now I'm really discouraged and I'm worried about my job or things like that. It could be religious choices. You know, I really think that Buddha has some good things to say. You know, I really like the idea of heaven, but I'm not so sure about the idea of hell. Maybe we ask the question, you know, maybe there are multiple ways that we can get to heaven. You see, some of these desires, some of them are good choices that God would endorse, and others might be things that really aren't pleasing to God. And so then we have to come up with this decision. Are we going to do the things that we want, or are we going to trust God? Are we going to take our wisdom, or are we going to take His wisdom? Am I going to pursue the path in my life that I want to pursue and gain the things that I want to gain, or am I going to look to Him and say, I'm going to choose the path that You want over what I want? See, we hold on to the things that we want in one hand, and we hold on maybe to the things that God wants in the other hand. And then we have to make a choice of what we're going to do. We're holding these two things, and sometimes pursuing God's instructions, these things go together. Sometimes the things we want, the things God wants, they're the same. And when they're the same, that makes it so easy. When they're the same, then we can make an easy decision. But when they're different, then what do? When they're different, then we have to make that choice when there's a conflict. When there's a conflict, are we willing to say, okay, God, I'm willing to let You have the final say, and I'm going to do what You want over what I want. You know, we've heard it said that you should follow your dreams. We've heard it say that you have to listen to your heart. We've heard it said that you need to love yourself first. And all of these things, honestly, they're lies. They're not true. They're not true. You see, our dreams need to line up with His purpose. Our heart needs to become His heart. We need to love God first and pursue Him first over all else, even in ourselves. Jesus says that we are to deny ourselves and be willing to lose our life, to find real life, to find fulfilling life, to find true life in who He is. And this is a radical concept. It is radical to deny yourself. And then it says in this passage, to deny yourself and then take up your cross. To take up your cross, this is meaning that you seek God's will for you. This means that you find God's will for you. This means that when you find it, you choose to obey His will and you submit to Him without question. You are willing to submit to His demands without demanding something back. We're willing to submit to wherever God may lead us. See, a person who was carrying his cross, the person that they were speaking to, this was a person who was condemned to execution. The carrier of the cross, they were carrying their cross and they were heading to execution. They were headed to a certain future and there was no turning back. This cross was a common image in the Roman world, and it was an image that was despicable. It was an image of suffering and disgrace. Sometimes when we talk about following Jesus, we hide the price tag of serving Him. We say, if you just believe, then all is going to be good. But the truth is that following Jesus comes with a high price tag, but it also comes with a high reward. You know, it's not easy, but it is worth the cost. See, salvation is a commitment. Salvation isn't just saying some words or repeating a nice prayer, but it comes with a commitment. To take up a cross and follow Jesus is a commitment. It's a commitment just like in the Roman world, the carrier of the cross could not turn back. Just like that person, a commitment to Jesus is saying, we're following You without the ability to turn back. Once that cross is carried, follow through is certain. Once that cross is carried, then your destination is certain where you're going to go. This is a commitment that Jesus is asking us to make. To follow Jesus is to go wherever Jesus wants us to go. To follow Jesus, to carry that cross, is to do whatever Jesus wants us to do. And to follow him means that we're going to stay where we go as long as Jesus wants us to be there. That is what he's calling us to do, following Jesus. So if we're going to follow Jesus, this requires us to shift our thinking and to figure out not what I want, but figuring out what God wants. To figure out not what pleases me, but to figure out what pleases God. See, following Jesus doesn't mean that we just make a slight change in direction. Sometimes we think that if we're going through life and we make a commitment to Jesus, that means that we can keep going and maybe we'll just change a little bit. Maybe we'll just alter our direction a little bit, but we can keep doing mostly what we want and still follow Jesus. But that's not what he asks us to do. He says, I want you to make a 180-degree change. I want you to make a turn in what you're doing. Make a life change. See, Jesus doesn't teach us that when we accept Christ and we follow him, that he wants us just to be a nicer person. See, because if that's the case, then all Jesus expects us to do is keep doing the same thing we're doing. Just don't be such a jerk when you're doing it, right? But that's not what he's calling us to do. He's calling us to change. Jesus says, my path for you is not business as usual. My path for you is different. Are you willing to do whatever I ask you to do? See, Jesus tells us that we're to repent. And Jesus uses this quite a lot. He uses the word repent. And repent means to make a 180-degree turn and go in an opposite direction. See, sometimes we think that we can hold on to our life and our old life, and we can hold on to Jesus, and we can have them both. So we want to feel safe and secure because we have Jesus in our heart, but we don't really want to change and really follow him and what he's calling us to do. And Jesus says, you need to make a choice. Jesus says, I need to make a choice. If I'm not willing to change direction, then what I'm really saying is, Jesus, I'm not really willing to follow you. And Jesus shares this paradox of discipleship. In verse 25, he says, whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You know, we try to save our own life. We try to do things to make our life good. You know, we want to run away from things that are painful because we want to save our life. We want to run to things that give us peace and safety because we want to save our life. We want to run to positions of power and run to positions of safety, things that help us because we want to have this saving life. We want to run to earthly gains. But Jesus says, you need to lose your life by submitting our life to him and by doing what he wants us to do. Now, our goal here isn't to be a martyr. A martyr complex is not scriptural. Our goal is not to let everyone see how much that we suffer for Jesus and look at all the things that we're doing and have people say, you know, look at me, look how much I sacrifice, look at all the persecution that I endure. I'm serving Jesus and I'm getting all this persecution. That's not the point here. That's not what we're asking you to do. Now, we should be willing to suffer for Jesus, but we should not seek suffering for our own sake. We went to Ecuador on a mission trip a couple years, and there was a missionary that we worked with down there, and he was in a place that sometimes was dangerous, and he shared stories of being in villages where he'd go there, and they would pour gasoline on his car and try to set him on fire, and they would run him out throwing rocks and stuff at him, and he would share these things. And as I was visiting with Steve one night, and we were talking about the ministry, he said, I'm willing to die as a martyr if God calls me to do that, but I'm not willing to die because I'm stupid. And I'm not willing to die because I'm arrogant. See, there really are martyrs for Jesus. There are martyrs happening now. There have been martyrs throughout history. But there have been people, lots of people, who aren't martyrs. They're just stupid. And even in the pretense of following Jesus, even in the pretense of serving him, the truth is they're still seeking their own desires. Even in that, we have to choose wisely. Look, be willing to die for Jesus. But even greater, are you willing to live for him? Are you willing to live for him every day and point people to him? See, as we lose our life for Jesus' sake, you know what happens? We find life. We find real life. We find the thrill of Jesus' presence in our life. We find the thrill of living in the power of Jesus. And we find true peace, peace that can't come from anything else but a relationship with Him. That's what we find when we choose to lose our life. We gain a reason for living, and we gain a hope in dying. We gain a purpose. I'm a big believer in purpose, and I believe that God has purpose. And when we turn inward, when our life becomes about us, then we lose sight of God's purpose. But when we look outward, when we surrender to Jesus, when we see His purpose and He gives us purpose, then our life is so much more fulfilling. We have so much more to offer, and we live this life in purpose and following Him. And I believe this without a doubt, that God has purpose for you. Even today and all the things that are going on, God has purpose. There are things that God wants you to accomplish if we're willing to surrender ourselves to Him today. We can live for Him and watch God do some amazing things. Even in this difficult world, God has purpose. So what is your choice? Because discipleship requires us to make a choice. Jesus shares here the profit of discipleship. See, our flesh longs for the things of this world. We want the things that bring us fun and excitement and satisfaction. Things right here, right now, that we can look at and say, this helps me right now. Satan tempts us with things of the world. He pictures an endless joy and satisfaction. And if you want to get a really good picture of this, read through the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon gives you a great picture of the idea of all the stuff we try to do to bring us pleasure. And he says, honestly, it's all meaningless. It's all worthless. Do it, have fun, but ultimately understand that it's like a vapor. It's here and it's gone, and our eternity is what we need to be focused on. We need to look at these questions that Jesus asked in verse 26. This is essential for us to consider. For what will a man profit if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? Now let's look at this profit. In order to really understand and make a choice, we need to understand what's required. And so how do we know what God requires of us? Well, here's the really simple answer. You look into your Bible, and you read your Bible, and you dig into it, and you see specifically what Jesus is teaching and what He wants from me. See, one of the biggest problems that we have is Christians don't even know what Jesus said. It seems kind of obvious, and it seems like this is something that I shouldn't have to say, but I guess it has to be said. If we're going to follow Jesus' teaching, then we have to know what His teaching is. We have to know it. This means that every day that we dig into God's Word, this means that we study His Word because we believe that it has truth and it has life. And it means that we're willing to hear what it says and we're eager to hear what it says. See, but the truth is some of you who are listening to me speak right now, you have never read the Bible on your own. You don't know much about what God actually says. You just gleaned a little bit from hearing somebody teach or hearing a sermon or a Bible study. And you're making a commitment to something that you don't even really have a grasp of what it is. We need to make a commitment today that we're going to read and study the Word of God. We're going to read it. And as we read it, we're not going to read it and then go through and just skip the tough parts. And you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes we do that. We want the comforting parts. We want the parts that bring us peace, and we get to a part that is hard. We get to a part that convicts us, and we're going to skip that part because we're going to find something that makes us feel good. I'm asking you, if you really want to pay the cost of following Jesus, that you get to those hard parts, and you get to those parts that bring you conviction, and you stop there, and you read it, and you meditate on it, and you think about it, and you ask God to open up your eyes and open up your heart and say, God, how does this apply to me? How can I make this real in my life? Because if we aren't willing to do that, then we're in a dangerous place of claiming that we love the Bible while ignoring the parts of the Bible that have the greatest chance of transforming our life and transforming our heart. We are missing the profit of God's Word. You need to understand that God is not done with you yet. God has great things for you. We haven't arrived at where we're supposed to be, and we need to continue to grow and continue to seek Him and continue to ask God to challenge our heart. And we need to consider not just a profit, but consider what we give. Again, we're looking at a choice. You know, what credit limit am I willing to give to Jesus? What credit limit am I willing to let Jesus have in my life? See, some of us are okay with little sacrifices. We're okay with doing little things because of the call of Christ, but we're not willing to really give Him everything. Some of us, we're willing to give up an hour on Sunday morning to come worship, but we're not willing to give up 20 to 30 minutes every single day to read His Word and pray. For some of us, we're willing to sing a song of praise, but we're not willing to go out and step out and forgive someone. For some of us, we're willing to write a little check and give it to the church, but we're not willing to trust Jesus with all of our finances. For some of us, we're willing to help out in a time of crisis, and we'll reach out and we'll help people, but we're not going to stop gossiping about those same people the rest of the time. For some of us, when we're asked if somebody says, "Are you a believer?" we'll say, "Yeah, we believe in Jesus," and you might claim to be a Christian, but you're not willing to spend every day praying for the lost around you, praying that God will change the people's lives around you. Some of us were willing to compliment the preacher on the way out of church and say, "That was a good sermon. We really appreciate the sermon," but we're not willing to dig into those same words throughout the week and see what God has for you on your own. See, we need to reach a place in our lives when we're willing to give God everything. This demands that we believe something that might be hard for us to believe. This means that we believe that God has our best interest in His hands. And that means that God has the best interest of His kingdom in His hands. And those things can go together. What God has for best for us, and what God has that's best for Him, those go together. It demands that we believe that large sacrifices or small sacrifices are asked in order to make significant gains in Jesus' name and for the kingdom of God. It means that this is worth it. It demands that we believe that Jesus has a desire not just to bless our life, but He has a desire to move our life in a place of faith where we have significance and purpose for Him. There has to come a point where we say, "I'm no longer looking for the church to do ministry. I'm not looking at the church and saying, what is the church doing in this situation? I'm not looking at the church and saying, what is the church doing to minister to people?" We get to the point where we say, "I am the church. What am I doing to minister to people? What am I doing to make a difference in people's life?" And we don't look at see what the church is doing and say, "What am I doing and how can I make a benefit?" Because deep down in our hearts, we know that there is something better. We know that the world needs more than what they're searching for. There is so much more. Deep down, we know that there's something beyond this life. There's something beyond all the property that we can get. There's something beyond the possessions that people are seeking. There's something beyond the power that we can gain. Look, we can gain everything in this world, and there comes a point when we're gone and we leave it all behind. We can search and we can live for that, or we can look for something that really lasts. And we can invest in something that has eternal significance. And so the question, what will a man exchange for his soul? See, all the things we gain here, are they more important than what Jesus wants us to have? Are we willing to exchange the best for something that is temporarily good? Now think about that. All the things that we want here, it's so temporary. Are we willing to sacrifice everything for what we have here and give up on what God may have for us for eternity? Is there value in having everything here and then eternity being separated from God? Is there value in that? Discipleship. It comes with sacrifice, but discipleship also comes with reward. Reward for what you have done. Look at verse 27. For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father and his angels, and will then repay every man according to his deeds. See, Jesus looks at the reward of discipleship, and he says, one day I'm going to return, and in that day I'm going to repay according to what you have done. The unsaved will face judgment. They will face eternal punishment separated from God. Christians will face judgment as well. But they have the opportunity of eternal reward. Notice the note in the Life Application Study Bible. It says this: everyone's life is reviewed and evaluated. This will not be confined to unbelievers. Christians too will face a judgment. Their eternal destiny is secure, but Jesus will look at how they handled gifts, opportunities, and responsibilities in order to determine their heavenly reward. See, there's a reward with eternal consequences. Those who have lived for Jesus, who have given their lives to serve him, will receive far more than they could have ever imagined, far more than you could have ever dreamed, far more than what we really even deserve. But those who live for self, those who turn and deny Christ, those who choose to live without him, they're going to lose more than they could ever have dreamed. They will have gained everything here and forfeited all for eternity. Standing before Jesus, there comes a time when we each have to answer to him. So what is our choice? And how do we respond to the question, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? This morning, let me ask you to spend a moment and do a serious evaluation of your life. As we sing that closing song, and I'm not standing up front for you to come down and to greet me, to come down and visit with me, to come down and have me pray for you, but I'm going to ask you to do a serious evaluation. And I'm going to ask you to see what you're investing in, where you're investing your life, where you're finding your profit, where you're spending your time, where you're spending your energy. And let me ask you, are you putting it in a place following Jesus that he's going to use and make a difference eternally? Or are we spending too much time thinking about the here and now and missing out on what God may have for us? Are we willing to pay the cost of following him? That's the decision that each of us have to make.